We want to continue on a path that the Lord has started us on. Our path began, and we'll just go ahead and read the scripture, because it began in Acts chapter 14, where Paul was preaching, and where Paul, there was a certain man there without strength in his feet, and he was sitting, and he was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking. And Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and he walked. And Lord, I trust that I will be an open vessel for you, for the Holy Spirit to pour through me as we continue to get understanding of the importance of our standing for the truth. And so we thank you, Lord. I pray that all blockages and all distractions to our minds would just be rendered helpless at this time, and that we would be standing up in our spirits to hear what you would say to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we established the need to stand up on our feet. We recognized something, some things that have come out that have really spoken to me is the fact that we can become too good at just sitting, that we can become professional church sitters. We can sit and never stand up in the Word or in response to the Word and become so comfortable at just sitting and waiting and hopefully making it into heaven, but being singed as we go in because there's nothing of any use that has come from our life. Fruit. As Christians, our desire should be to produce fruit. There's something in our heart that wants others to have what's in our hearts. If our hearts have been stirred, you see, sometimes people's hearts get stirred, and then someone sitting beside them keeps them sitting. Don't get carried away. And we let that stirring settle, and then it just settles. When I was a child, Kool-Aid was the thing. Now it's Gatorade. It's Kool-Aid with salt in it in a bottle. that's my thinking on it. But Kool-Aid, okay? The Kool-Aid was made. I liked to get the opportunity to make the Kool-Aid because when I made the Kool-Aid, it had a little extra sugar in it. But if that Kool-Aid, when you put the sugar in, if you didn't drink the whole thing and then it just sat in the refrigerator and then you would take that Kool-Aid out to drink it, if you didn't stir it, the Kool-Aid would be flat. Now, perhaps Paul understood Kool-Aid when he told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. But, so, as we went on, we said, we need to stand up straight on our feet. We need to not just sit there when we hear the Word. And we need to be hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, so we need to be hearing and hearing. You need to be hearing here, you need to be hearing there, you need to be hearing everywhere. Hearing what the Spirit of the Lord would say. How do we hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say? We seek the Lord. When we seek the Lord, we will hear from the Lord. So, on Wednesday then, we talked about standing for truth. And when we talk about standing for truth, one thing that spoke to my heart was how the standing for the truth accelerates the kingdom of God in our lives. It accelerates the speed at which things take place in our lives. The truth is the truth. The kingdom is the kingdom. The principles of the kingdom of God are just that. Nothing can change them. There's no variance in him. There's no changing in him. But standing for the truth accelerates the kingdom of God in our lives, because we haven't just heard the truth, but we have heard it until we owned it. And when it became ours, we could stand in it and stand on it and now stand for it. Stand for it. Okay? It's one thing for us to know it and to believe it and perhaps even experience it. But how often do people experience it and then not bother to stand for it? In other words, you may have experienced great things and someone comes along and says, well, that just doesn't work. Are you going to stand for it? In other words, to stand for the truth and say, God is faithful. God is true. This morning, when I read my son's letter, he wasn't denying God, but he was trying to find out answers as to why things happen. Well, to start with, the best thing I can offer him is to stand for the truth and say, this is true. God is good. There's evil in the world. To get things moving in the right direction, to get the kingdom of God accelerating. It's not fun when things don't go the way we have them planned. It's not. And as a father, and my heart reaching out to my son who is so far away, and wanting him to have the peace that he needs, and wanting all of that. And as we were worshiping, the Lord just, it was another one of those times where he drops into my heart the confirmation, the assurance, the release. And here's the deal. The Lord reminded me, because I was thinking about my son having to carry his friend in a flag-draped body, and the Lord reminded me that I held my own son. That Vicky and I held our own son. I can even remember going down into the cooler with the children who wanted to see our own son and that little lifeless body. Now, I have to tell you that at that time, the peace of God was so great that it just wasn't real. For the joy that was set before him. Standing for the truth. So, now that you're standing, what? Now that we have established that need to stand, and that we in our hearts are going to stand, what are we going to stand for? Well, John 17:17, Jesus said, your word is truth. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, your word is truth. When we make that conscious decision to stand for truth, we are saying we're going to stand for the whole truth. We will stand for the truth that we understand, and we will stand for the truth that we're getting understanding of, and we will stand for the truth that we have no clue about. Why would we do that? Because standing for the truth accelerates the kingdom of God in our life. If I want to see the kingdom of God manifest, then I need to stand for truth that I cannot even comprehend, because it is the truth. Just because it is. Now, Jesus' birth was prophesied long before Jesus was born. But it was just as true when it was prophesied as when he was born. And in fact, it was true before that, because the Bible tells us from the foundations of the earth. And so God established truth. He is truth. His word is truth. So this is it. So when we finally, the idea of hearing and believing and standing in and standing on and then standing for is a foundation. He builds his house upon the rock. No storm can take it down because it will always have its foundation, even of those things. There was no way when I came to know the Lord that I knew that His truth of peace that passes understanding would be proven to me the way that it was proven to me. But it was true. And in fact, I would venture to say that I hadn't really contemplated peace that passes understanding up until I needed that peace that passed understanding. But because I could stand on that, I had opportunity to stand in that, and now I can stand for that, and I can say to anyone, it is real. God's Word, His truth, will prevail if you will allow it to. In your walk with God, you have just as many, if not more, opportunities to quit. Unless you stand on the truth and rejoice in the Lord always. Because if you are rejoicing in the Lord always, when the opportunities come to quit, you will rebuke them. Over the last few days, we knew that Jordan was busy because he said there were some things going on. In the midst of when he's busy, his busy isn't planting or weeding his garden or anything like that. I know what it is. And so I am sitting and I am praying, and the enemy comes in and says, the people are headed for your house. Now, when you have a son who is in the military, people headed for your house are people coming to your house to tell you not good news. And for a moment, I imagined how I would handle that. And then I said, get thee behind me, Satan. I will not prepare myself to handle that. I will prepare myself for victory. You shut up. I'm talking to the Lord. How many of you know that you can prepare your mind to handle the wrong things? Amen. And it may seem like a holy process, but it stinketh. The Lord will supply my needs according to His riches and glory. But at that point, I knew better. And yet, I knew by the Spirit that there was something to pray for. Vicki was feeling the same things, and we were praying. God will alert us to pray. I don't have the answers about everything, but I know that if you abide in me, Jesus said, and my word abides in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus prayed, and he said, your word is truth. And so when we determine to stand for the truth, the bottom line is, the final thing and final word on everything is that God, what He says, goes. What He says will prevail. So that when Jesus was born, after being prophesied about a long time ago, the truth was manifest. Did everyone believe the truth? No, they sure didn't believe the truth. But did it change the truth? And then Jesus, walking the earth, reminded them of what else was prophesied about Jesus. Not only did it prophesy His life, but it prophesied His death, how He would die. And so Jesus then spoke the truth. He said, I am going to be delivered up. Jesus spoke the truth, and what happened? The kingdom of God was accelerated. He said what was going to happen. How long did it take after he said what was going to happen? Now, at the same time that he told them the truth, at the same time that he said to them, I will be delivered up, I will be crucified, he also said, but I will rise again. What happened when he said that? The kingdom of God was accelerated. It only took 3 days for him to rise again. He also said that it's better for you that I go, because if I go, then my Father will send the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. There must be something that we need about the truth. And so he rose again with witnesses and people to see him to prove it. Did everybody believe it? No, but it didn't matter if everybody believed it. Whoever would call upon his name, whoever did believe it, they would see the kingdom of God accelerated in their lives. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that truth? What accelerates it in your life? When you say it. You stand on the truth and stand in the truth and stand for the truth, and it accelerates the kingdom of God in your life. I knew something happened. As I began to believe in God, the kingdom began to be accelerated in my life, whether I understood it or not. But when I knew, and when I stood on the truth, when I could say without doubt or reservation, yes, I am saved, yes, I am going to heaven, what happened? It accelerated the kingdom of God in my life. How many people have you ever heard somebody who has sat in church for a multitude of years that will say things like, well, no one can be sure? Okay? If they say no one can be sure, what does that do to the kingdom of God in their life? It puts on the brakes, doesn't it? The kingdom cannot be manifest because they are not standing for the truth, in the truth, on the truth, have no understanding of the truth, and consequently, the kingdom sits idling. What happens if you leave something idle for too long? It runs out of gas. There's a lot of people that believed the truth long enough to receive the truth, but idled so long that they've run out of gas. Now, whether they will get a tow truck into heaven or not, I have no idea, and it's not my business. But they ain't going anywhere. You ever drive by somebody that ain't going anywhere on the road? And they might have even had a vehicle. But for some reason you weren't inclined to stop. Have you ever driven by one of those people and looked in the rearview mirror and saw them waving to you with one finger? You haven't. I have. I have seen people salute me for driving by. Bless their hearts. That's probably why I was led to drive by. But you see, the whole thing about that is they're mad because I'm still going and they're just sitting. Have you ever come across a Christian that didn't bother to stand up straight on their feet, wasn't going nowhere, and they were sort of torqued off at you because you were? And when you dared to stand for the truth, they wanted to salute you right to your face? But they did it with an expression and a growl instead of an extended hand? Well, we have to decide that we're going to stand for the truth no matter what. Don't be mad at me if I stand for the truth and the kingdom of God is racing around my life. Because standing for the truth accelerates the kingdom of God. And so we need to make the determination, okay, we are just going to do it. We make truth our life's course, then we can be sure that those who trust, rely on the Lord, will never be disappointed, perplexed, or have occasion, on occasion perhaps, but not disappointed in God. In other words, we can be perplexed on occasion, but not disappointed in God. Do you understand the difference in being perplexed and being disappointed? I try not, and I don't think I do, but if I do, they always forgive me. But I try not to say to my children, I'm disappointed in you. I may indicate that they perplex me. That I don't understand everything. But not disappointed in them because I love them. You see, if a person is trapped into following the line of thought of being disappointed in God, if you're disappointed, then that means that you believe that He failed. But when you're standing for the truth, you know in your heart, God cannot fail. It is when we stand for the truth that we accelerate the things that He has had standing at the door, knocking to get into our lives. So that is why it is so important that we just make a decision. You know what? I'm going to stand for all of God's truth. That which I know, that which I want to know, and that which I have not a clue about, I don't care, I'm standing for His truth. The other night somebody was at our house, and as he was leaving, he said, you know, there's something I always wondered about. Why did Jacob fight God? Wrestle with God? Or why did God wrestle with him? You know, well, my personal response is to that, I think he must have been wrestling with himself, because if he's wrestling with God, he's done in a hurry. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I do know this. I don't want to walk with a limp the rest of my life over my own stupidity. You know? If I hear a semi coming into town and I keep listening and keep listening, and keep listening, and then all of a sudden, at just the right time, I leave the platform, sprint out the door, and run out in front of it, and it gets run over. Did God fail me? Or did my own stupidity create the limp? If I stand here and say, let me show you God's protection. You hear that semi coming? In just a moment, I'm going to leave this platform. I'm going to sprint out through the door. And at just the opportune time, so that He can't stop me, I am going to get in front of that truck and you will see God protect me. And Dorn had a good response. I think I will trip you and save you from yourself. Because while it is true that God will protect me, I might just have my truth a little messed up in my head. And so my brother would stand for a better truth. God makes the simple wise. I'm smartening you up, Pastor. Because that would not be a good truth, would it? Even if somehow, by some miraculous sort of a thing, that the truck did get stopped and I was fine, that would not be promoting a very good truth, would it? That would be saying, go ahead and tempt God. It'll work. No, it won't. You got to make sure that you're going to stand for truth. Now, I want truth. I want the kingdom of God accelerated in my life. I want it to be picking up speed all the time. I want it to go so fast that I can barely keep up. In the airports where you have the people movers, you know, I want them to become like treadmills for me. I've been on a treadmill once or twice that started out at a very good speed, but for some reason it seemed to speed up. But I don't think that was it. I think it was me that slowed down. There comes a place. Well, the kingdom of God, what we want to do is keep it accelerating, because we can trust the Lord to keep us as we go. So, the truth will always prevail, whether it's instant, over time, it is still the truth. Now, when Jesus said that you will know the truth, then that's good enough for me. And when He said, when you know the truth, it will set you free, that's good enough for me. Isn't it good enough for you? He said it. And so, I'm going to stand on that truth, in that truth, and for that truth. So that no matter what, and I believe that there is the opportunity when you stand for the truth to not only accelerate the kingdom of God in your life, but when you stand for the truth with someone else, you open the door for the kingdom of God to be accelerated in their life as well. Because they need only to be encouraged, receive it, and join you in standing for it, and what happens? They are then moved into this accelerated kingdom of God. So, when we talk about Jesus, hundreds of years before He was born, it was spoken. At just the right time, the Bible tells us He was born. At just the right time, He began His ministry. He was all man and all God the moment He left heaven to enter the womb. He came, and at the time that it was time for the glory of God to be manifest, because Jesus, if you read John chapter 17, He says, I have glorified You. Do you notice also that Jesus, when He's praying the prayer in John 17, He says, I am no longer in this world. He was still here, flesh and blood, but He had accelerated in the truth. For the joy that was set before Him, He moved Himself beyond the trouble. So by faith and by the Spirit, by confidence in the truth, He was already gone. He said, I am no longer in this world. I wasn't there, but according to what the boys said that were there, He was still there. But He said, I'm no longer in this world. He knew what was coming. He went beyond what was coming. It was for the joy set before Him that He was able to endure the cross. So there in the garden, after having prayed through, after having gone through sweating blood, after having gone through, God, Father, if it be possible, after having gone through all of these mindsets, at that point, He was already not in this world. So that even later, if He prayed, oh, you know, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, He already wasn't in this world. Because that's what He said. He can't lie, right? And He was saying, I'm not in this world. They're in this world. I'm praying for them. But He says, here, I'll read it to you. Just so you know, I'm not lying to you. I didn't bring a lot of different translations, but Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. As You have given him authority over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You can stand for that truth. Jesus is the only way. They can say anything they want. Our world can become mamby-pamby and say that there's a lot of ways. They can give more credence to the Muslims if they want than they do to the Christians. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God is going to prevail. And those people that have chosen to go that way, they are the world. And they have chosen to be lost. And they can stay lost if they want. But there's a lot of people in this world that need to know the truth. And they're going to know the truth because you stand for the truth. So he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Isn't it interesting that he says, I have finished the work you gave me to do? Seems like there was just a little thing he was going to do yet, wasn't there? But he was done with it. It was settled. Why? Because it was true. Because the truth was, yeah, I'm going to be crucified. So what? I'm going to rise again. And guess what? When I rise, I'm going into hell and I'm whooping up big time on the one who was the purveyor of this nonsense. Right? And he went in and he led captivity captive. And so he was already whooping up on him. He was already confident of the truth. This is how we must be. Confident of the truth, standing for the truth, in the truth, on the truth. Truth, truth, truth. What is truth? Jesus said, your word is truth, Lord. John 17:70. But we're not there yet. And we're not going to go all the way there because we are not going to stay here all day, because you can't listen all day, and I'd get tired of hearing me for that long. So, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Okay? I'm going back where I started. No wonder he could have joy in the midst of the trial. What's a little old crucifixion compared to getting back where he started out? With the Father. So, what's going through a few things on this earth when we know where we're going? What's going through a few things on this earth when we know the kingdom of God is about to manifest in our lives on this earth? If all I have to do is stand for the truth, believe the truth, in order to have the truth manifest in my life, what am I waiting for? I'm tired of stopping the truth. I'm tired of putting it in park with the emergency brake on and having it idle. I didn't know I was doing that. I thought I was just easing into it. No, 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 no. I want to accelerate it. Pedal to the metal. I want to be like Vicky at the drag races. I mean to tell you, she got into that. It was a sad day when she couldn't go back this year, but next year she's going. You didn't live with her, but I got to tell you something, that she was in glory for days after that. You'd be talking about something else, and all of a sudden, out would come an idea about how to get off the line quick. At our house, the Lord knows that conversations just come out of the blue. I ain't going to share with you something that I've been privy to just recently, but I mean, it's getting strange in Girlville, okay? But, you know, I mean, that's the way that it was. She just got fired up about that drag racing thing, and you could mention it, and she would just begin to grin in anticipation of her next opportunity. That's how we need to be about standing for the truth. This is my opportunity, you know. We can go around just thinking, oh man, we're just about to the green light. It's just about ready to go. I'm just about ready to put the pedal to the metal. There's an opportunity coming for me to stand for the truth and see the kingdom of God accelerated. And the good thing about Oh, I'd have to explain. If you know what, I don't know anything about drag racing. Don't get me wrong, I know nothing about it, but I knew that there's a thing about you have to be careful when you drag race after you've done your trial runs for the final. You don't want to break out. In other words, you don't want to go better than you did but when you were going, or they'll think you were sandbagging. You, in the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about breaking out. You can break out all the time. You can just keep accelerating. You can just keep going. You can bore out the cylinders if you want to give yourself more horsepower. I'm seriously talking about what I don't know, don't I, Bob? I'm just repeating things that I hear him say, and it must be the Lord because I don't remember things like that, but I just know it. Anyway, okay. So, he said that he would rise from the dead, and he rose from the dead. He said that he was coming back. He said that he'd send the Holy Spirit. He said that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. And so we are safe to just simply say, you know what? I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm going to stand for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's my final say about things. And I will see the kingdom of God accelerate and accelerate and accelerate. I will see. When did healing take place? Healing took place when God said it. When does it take place in our lives? When we stand for it. When were we saved? When we stood for it. Not just when we heard about it. Most of the world has heard about it. Not just when we wondered about it, but when we stood for it. When we said, I am saved. And then if somebody says, how do you know? Standing for the truth. You don't know because you hope so. You don't know because somebody else said so. You know because you believe God. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. And you stand for that because you see, there's a lot of people out there in the world that they aren't even sure about this salvation thing. Well, if you're supposed to be, and you don't know enough to stand for it, what good are you? Or if you're supposed to be, and if you do know, but you won't make the effort to stand for it, what good are you? And how well off are you? And how wrapped up in the kingdom of God, and how prepared are you for the kingdom of God to manifest around your life if you can't even stand for the foundational truth? Do you see the importance of going beyond hearing it to standing for it, to having the confidence in it to stand for it, to care enough about somebody to stand for it? I thank you, Dorn, that you would stick your foot out to show me you ain't going to do that, Roger. I love you, man. You're the only one that cared enough to stop me. Everybody else just thought I was off on another tangent. But I love you anyway. I love y'all. Don't you worry. I love you. Because I know you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I have no doubt that if I tried to do that, I wouldn't be able to get out the door because everybody would be up after me to stop me. Okay. When's your provision provided? When you stand for it. When's your protection provided? When you stand for it. One of the things of the kingdom of God accelerated in your life, when you stand for them. So now that we're standing, we'll just stand. And as we go on, we're just going to look at some standing in particular truths and how we can stand in them and see them accelerated in our lives in a greater and greater measure, and how maybe we have put them on idle and set the brake when we didn't really realize that we were. God's going to take us into more truth, and as we go into the truth, we're going to be set more and more free, and we're going to see the kingdom of God accelerated in our lives. He's going to prove this word is true, and there's a purpose in heaven for why he's bringing us to this now. He has stored up much truth in us. Nothing compared to what he is going to. But it's stored up doesn't do near as much good as when it's loosed. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth all bound up. And Jesus said, now loose him and let him go. He wouldn't have lived long all bound up like that. It needed to be loosed. And I believe that that's what God is doing. He's going to loose this truth in us in greater and greater ways. And the kingdom of God is going to accelerate. And I think we should be excited about that idea. Amen? Will you agree with me for the Lord to do that? Father, in Jesus' name, we agree for the acceleration of your kingdom. And Father, forgive us for anything that we do or have done that has put this on idle in our lives. And we just open ourselves up to you now, Lord. We declare in our hearts a renewed determination to know the truth, to stand for the truth, and to see the kingdom of God manifested by that truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.